You're listening to Alternate Reality, episode 384, our review of Avengers: Infinity War.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're back with you again. For now. You know, I'm not making no promises.
We're live. For now.
For now. Not making no promises about what's going to come. But we got together one more time to talk about the Avengers: The Infinity War, the big movie that just came out from Marvel Studios, because why not? Because there was a lot to say about it, and we felt like we wanted to do some talking. And we thought we might share it with the world, whoever was interested in listening. So we are excited to be here this evening. And we're keeping it low key tonight. It's just me and Charlie here in the house. Although you may hear some background noise because my family's always about in the house. And so if you hear anybody yell, if you hear any dogs barking, try to ignore. My air conditioning is also going so that you may be able to hear that hum in the background. Try to ignore. Because we're kind of the shoebox operation here. We kind of just threw things together to record this for you. So we hope to keep it lighthearted and entertaining and fun, and hope that you enjoy it. So Alternate Reality is a podcast that used to talk about comics every week. And then as a result of that, we would also branch out and talk about other comic-related things, such as, you know, trade paperbacks. We would talk about video games. We would talk about, you know, the sheets you could buy at Walmart with comic characters on it, things like that. And occasionally we would find ourselves in a position in the early days, once in a great while, to talk about comic book movies. Because in the early days, they didn't come out that frequently. I mean, we started the show in the 2005, 2006 era. So, you know, at that time you were getting an X-Men movie here and there.
We still are getting an X-Men movie.
And so, you know, But they were much less frequent. You had a Fantastic Four movie once in a while. I'm not sure when those started. But in 2008, Marvel Cinematic Universe began with Iron Man. And so now here we are 10 years later talking about Avengers: The Infinity War.
No, the Hulk movie was first.
That first Hulk movie with Ang Lee, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. And if you want to go all the way back, you know, I mean, we got to talk about Blade and everything. So, because the Blade was late 90s. But that Ang Lee Hulk movie was not MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe. So here we are, 10 years later, after the premiere of Iron Man. Because I think Iron Man premiered in May of that year, so it's actually about almost exactly 10 years. And we're talking about this movie that they have been shadowing and forecasting and talking about and hinting at and giving little spoilery Easter eggs at for 10 long years. Thanos is coming. Thanos is coming. Thanos is coming. Thanos is coming. And he's finally here. And so we want to talk to you about what we thought about that. Now, just to kind of roll back the clock a minute, the last time that we actually, you know, this is just, you know, for you long-term listeners, and I don't know who you are. Maybe Nuggy is the only one that's left. John Wimmer out of West Virginia, number one fan. Ooh, ooh. I don't know if he's actually the number one fan, but it seems like he's hung around longer than anybody else. The last time we talked about an actual weekly comic coming out week to week where we did our picks was 2013. So that's been 5 years ago that we've been off of that train. And, of course, that doesn't count the myriad of times that we were on again, off again before that. But that was the last official time. And then the last official time we actually recorded a show, period, was 2016, because from 2013 to 2016, we did like five or six shows on and off where we just talked about some news and things going on and this and that. And so the last show we recorded was episode 383, and it was a review of the Doctor Strange movie. So things have happened since then. And so I wanted to...
At least three other movies.
Yes. So I wanted to take just a moment, if we could, and talk about the Marvel movies that have come out since Doctor Strange, and just a sentence or two, not a lot, because we got plenty to talk about with this movie, about what we thought about that, those movies leading up into Avengers Infinity War. So the first one that came out after Doctor Strange was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Charlie, what was your impressions of that movie?
I love Guardians.
Guardian movie, the movies are always great. There's so much to love, but it's always the characters that are great in those movies. The storyline in Guardians 2 wasn't fantastic.
No, I liked the storyline.
I didn't care as much for it. They were fun things. I think
a lot of Easter eggs in that movie.
A lot of Easter eggs in that movie, and having Kurt Russell in the movie was a lot of fun. But I would have gone at Ego the Living Planet a completely different way. And I think that the movie kind of falls down at the end and fails to live up to it. Just my opinion. But the overall, the movie was a ton of fun, and they always are. I think Drax may be my favorite character. We'll talk more about Drax here in a little bit. Then we've got what... And then Spider-Man. So Spider-Man Homecoming, we didn't really touch on that. What do you think of Spider-Man Homecoming?
I think it's the best Spider-Man
movie that's ever been made. Does it top all of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies?
Probably, yeah.
I think so, too. Now, it could be that we just...
Just because it was probably a little more fun than those.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you
can... A little more action-packed.
Can you properly remember...
A little more into the universe than that, seeing as that one wasn't.
I think maybe the thing that puts it over the top for me is that we did get the interaction between Spider-Man and the other characters that we'd never gotten before. Part, you know, as epic as the original Spider-Man movie was, and it was epic, and I'm trying to recapture in my head the feel of what it felt like to see him on screen for the first time and to see him swinging through New York City and what that was like to see that on screen and how amazing it was because we'd never been treated to anything like that. And then juxtaposing that against seeing him in Civil War, and it's the younger, cooler, quippier version of Spider-Man that we think is more at who Spider-Man really is. Because I think the kid that's playing Spider-Man now, what's his name?
Tom Holland.
Yeah. I think Tom Holland plays Peter better, despite the fact that he's British. I think he plays Peter better than either Tobey... I didn't like Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was thinking Jerry Maguire. Boy, it's been a long time since we podcasted.
No, the thing is, like, he plays age appropriate,
mm-hmm.
even though I know he's clearly not.
Right.
But he plays age appropriate.
Right.
Where Tobey Maguire was like, yeah, he's almost 30.
Yeah, trying to play 16.
Let's get him out of high school and into college.
As quickly as
in the first movie, yeah.
Yeah. So I like the fact that they started with a younger actor and they can leave him younger longer. And whoever's writing his dialogue for Marvel is better than whoever was writing either of the other two Spider-Man's dialogue for Sony. Because just the quips. And now, they tried to really... They never did the quips much. He did a little bit. But Andrew Garfield, they tried to capture the quippiness, but they didn't do it right. He kind of come off as just a jerk, you know?
He was just awful.
So I agree. And then, plus, like I said, the villain choices in Amazing Spider-Man was horrible. So... Yeah, the Lizard maybe wasn't horrible, but the Shocker was horrible.
No, Shocker was in Homecoming.
No.
You're talking about
Electro. Well, they're both electricity-based.
No, the Lizard was not great because it kind of turned into, like, I don't know, like bad Jurassic Park.
Yeah, okay, I see your point.
I mean, they could have made him more...
Human
looking.
You know, I think maybe the best part of those movies were Dennis Leary as Captain Stacy. He may have been the best part of those movies.
Oh, you mean Ghost Dennis Leary in the second one?
Yeah. So, So that's Spider-Man. Don't
and they basically stole his "Who's the Man" argument in the first movie.
Right. So not to dwell too long on that. Then moving along to Thor Ragnarok, which may, I haven't really shuffled where Avengers Infinity War falls on my slate of Marvel movies, but Thor Ragnarok going into Infinity War might have been currently my favorite Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. And I know not everybody didn't like it as well as I did, but I loved it. That was a great movie. And I just, that movie was fantastic for me. The soundtrack was awesome. I loved the Van Halen stuff. Not Van Halen. Led Zeppelin. The Led Zeppelin stuff they put in it. Classic rock's not my forte. I loved Thor finding his own, coming to realize that his power's not the hammer, it's himself. Although that kind of gets negated in this next movie when he realizes he needs a hammer. But neither here nor there. And then the Hulk as a side character was fantastic in that movie. Just so much to love. And people like Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum makes that movie. It's fantastic.
My problem with Thor Ragnarok was they nerfed two stories. They nerfed Thor Ragnarok,
mm-hmm.
and they nerfed Planet Hulk.
Well, I mean, but it's a cinematic universe. They take inspiration from all
over. Well, I know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm looking for direct translation, but
mm-hmm.
when you... Like, for the most part of that movie, they were in a room. There was no fighting. There was them just sitting there going, "I hate you. I hate you even more.
Let's fight." I wouldn't say that was the most of it.
It was a good chunk of it.
There's still some memorable characters. Korg is the best character in the movie. Hey, man. What are you doing? We're going to start a revolution, And the fact that it's the director playing their part is just—it's a ton of fun. So I love that movie. I just had a blast with it. Then we get to Black Panther, and you can—I'll ask you what you thought of it first, because I don't want to get pitchforks thrown at me.
It's probably my third or fourth favorite Marvel movie.
I thought it was solid. I thought it was a good movie. I don't think it was the greatest thing that's ever been put on the cinema screen, as some people were alluding to. I don't think this changes the game for all black superheroes forever. I don't think this is like the first, people were treating it like this was the first black superhero. And that's not true. We've had other black heroes. We've had...
Meteor Man. Meteor Man, Blank Man.
Don't get me wrong, because I'm not talking about the comedic ones that were jokes. I'm talking about characters like Blade. There have been other characters. But this movie was significant. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying it wasn't significant. This was a fantastic movie. It was a ton of fun. I enjoyed it. But I think everybody was over the moon over this movie. And I think it was, a solid movie in line with the other Marvel movies that they have done. So I didn't give it near the praise that everybody else did. And I like Chadwick Boseman in the role. I really do. I really enjoyed his appearance on Saturday Night Live when he was on Black Jeopardy awesome. The Black Panther character. And they're asking questions like, "All right, so," and I, of course I'm not phrasing it right because it's Jeopardy, but it was like, "All right, so the police comes rolling up to your house in the middle of the night."
"We said thank you, officer."
Thank you, officer. And we helped him track down the vicious criminal who committed these acts. And he looks at him and goes, "Yeah, that's probably the way it should be, but no, not in the States, brother." So, it was a lot of fun. So that brings us to Infinity War. Okay? So there we kind of got a reprisal of the last year and a half or so of Marvel Cinematic movies and where they've gone and where they've headed and bringing us to...
But you forgot about X-Men Apocalypse.
That's not Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we should... Wolverine! And we'll never speak of that. Logan was good. Logan had a couple problems, but Logan was emotional roller coaster at the end. I teared up. It was good.
Awful movie.
It tugged at the heartstrings, especially as the dad with a little girl. Oh, man. It did it for me.
A little thief killer.
If I ever get a hold of her, she's had it. So, Infinity War, Charlie. Greatest Marvel movie ever?
No.
No. Solid?
It was all right.
All right, so it had good points and had bad points.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the bad points first.
Let's get in with the crap.
Yeah, it's just getting the crap first. Go ahead. I was leaving the door open for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't say it. I apologize. We're rusty, folks. We're rusty.
None of the bad guys were really introduced, except for Thanos.
Right. And Thanos right. Was well, Thanos given, has been introduced continually for the last 5 years.
And Thanos was given 3/4 of this movie.
Right. Well, this that's what people are saying. They're saying this is not an Avengers movie. The Avengers are in the background, but this is Thanos' movie. This movie should have been called Thanos.
Should have.
But yeah, so the Black Guard, is that what they're called?
The Black Order.
The Black Order, yeah. The Black Order, his henchmen. They
give you their background. They said, yes, these are the sons of the children of Thanos. They lead his armies.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Never even gave you names.
Didn't give you name one of any of them.
If you didn't know who Ebony Maw was, if you didn't know who Proxima Midnight was, and I don't even remember the rest of them's name.
Call Obsidian and Corvus Glaive.
Right.
And so, they even left one out of the movie.
Right. So at no point did Thanos ever go, oh, by the way, let me introduce you to my henchmen. He never gave us names. We didn't know. We didn't have any real connection to the characters. They just show up and they're, bad A, walking in and kicking all our heroes' butts. So that was a little problematic. I agree. Thanos comes in and he's collecting his Infinity Stone. And so he's on this mission that you don't really understand what is in the beginning of it. They explain it as they go along.
Until he explains it ad nauseum.
Yeah.
15 different times.
So Thanos' backstory, if we could do that for just a minute. Thanos' backstory is that Thanos basically was once lived on a planet called Krypton where his name was Jor-El.
I don't think so.
And he warned his people.
Because he was a scientist.
Yes. He warned his people that they were facing certain doom, and they laughed at him. They mocked him. They didn't believe him. And they told him that he was not allowed to send his infant son in a rocket ship to another planet.
You're going off topic.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. So similarly to Jor-El.
But instead of giving away his children, he went to other worlds and
murdered their children.
Kidnapped children.
Oh, well, yeah, and murdered. So, basically the idea is that Thanos, home planet is Titan. And on Titan, the resources are sparse because the planet's overpopulated. Which is a moon of Saturn? It's awfully close if that's the case. Yeah, Titan is a moon of Saturn. Or Jupiter, one.
One of those two.
One of those two.
We're not
sorry,
scientists.
My astronomy is failing me. Oh, I'm embarrassed.
Which people did complain about. Titan's not a planet.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I mean,
theoretically, anything you live on is a planet. That's not.
Well, Endor is not a planet. It's a moon. The forest moon of Endor.
Yeah, but it's their planet.
It's where they live. It doesn't technically make it. But that's an argument for another day. So anyway, Titan's where he's from. And Titan is a population problem waiting to happen.
So we don't get confused, and we don't confuse our audience. There is no air on Titan.
Yeah, okay, it's true. So maybe Thanos' people don't need it, but people from Earth do.
Apparently people from Earth don't need it either when they're on it. But
so anyhow, so apparently Titan is overpopulated, which it's... considerably, it's in our galactic neighborhood. Not even galactic, it's in our solar system neighborhood. And it's right, just literally next door. The fact that we had no idea that there were all these people on that planet is amazing. But anyway, maybe they've got cloaking technology, I don't know. But if the planet, the moon, or whatever it is horribly overpopulated. Resources are running low, they live in squalor, they live in just horrible conditions. And Thanos says, I've got the solution.
Kill them all.
We have got to reduce our population by 50%. Reducing the population by 50% will thin out the herd, so to speak. We'll do it random selection. We'll do it lottery style. That way, nobody can accuse us of being choosy or having favorites, right? And so we'll do a random selection, we'll do a lottery, but 50% of the population dies, 50% of the population lives, and the half that lives, lives in a world of plenty, because now there's more than enough to go around for everybody.
Which is the Ra's al Ghul
problem.
Ra's al Ghul's
motivating factor.
Solution.
Yes. Yeah, to eliminate the overpopulation of the world. Okay. So they laugh at him, they scorn him, they mock him, they do not proceed with his plan, and soon Titan is overtaxed and the people all die. Except Thanos, who oddly enough survives and is very in shape and looks well fed. Not sure what happened there. Everybody dies except Thanos, and Thanos looks great.
Well, he knew he got out.
Well, if you can get out, if that's an option, why didn't lots of them get out?
Well, he got out when it was getting bad, you know.
Okay, I think there's some stretching
started being done. Working out afterwards, you know.
Yeah, some stretching being done there. All right, so he's going and getting his Infinity Stones, because not only is he aggravated about the fact that he can't solve his world problem, it's too late now. They already dead. He has to. He's taking it upon himself to solve the universe's problems, because apparently this is a problem everywhere. I can't imagine that there are planets in the ether, in the cosmos, that are not overpopulated, but not according to Thanos. Thanos says, no, they're all overpopulated. They've all got too many people on. Even the planets that have got...
Well, he just wants to make sure.
I suppose.
You know.
But what if a planet only has two people on it, a male and a female? Well, and from those two people, Adam and Eve style...
It's bound to be overpopulated at some point.
Okay, but...
solves the problem right there and then.
But my point is, if it's two people, Adam and Eve style, from which an entire species will come... and he kills one of them because he killed 50%, then that species never lives because one person can't have children.
Well, then
unless you're a dinosaur, Jurassic Park, and then life finds a way.
Then that one person lives in paradise.
Until they die. Okay. So he decides this is a problem for the entire universe. He has to solve the problem, and he goes about trying to find the Infinity Stones. Not at first, though. Because at first he decides, well, I'll just go planet to planet and just murder half the people. And he does that for a number of years.
Yeah, he recruits the army as he goes along because, hey, you're living better now. And
you come from a bad world, bad situation, come with me. Join the military, 3 squares a day and a cot, you'll be all right, man. And so he gets a lot of people to join his forces. Along the way, he also picks up certain people that he trains and raises as his own children. So here we get the backstory for Nebula and Gamora.
Well, mostly Gamora.
Mostly Gamora, but Nebula was a similar situation. And
it just happened to her. We didn't see it.
And so Gamora, Thanos comes to her planet when she's very young. Apparently this also happened on Drax's world, although he didn't take anybody with him. He just came to that world to murder half the people. That's how his wife and kids got killed. I didn't know that was specifically how that happened until this movie. So he goes to Gamora's world. He separates the people on both sides, because apparently all the people fit on both sides of the street in town. And so there's half the people on this side and half the people on this side.
Well, it was just that one town. You can't really...
I know. I'm being facetious. And he murders the half that's on the left-hand side of the street and leaves the half on the right-hand side of the street okay. And in the middle of that, picks Gamora out and says, you know, come with me, little one. I'll give you a good life. I'll train you up and make you strong. Look at this knife. It's balanced. See how it's weighted. And he's...
Don't watch me kill your mom.
By the way, turn your head.
Don't watch me kill your mom.
I'm getting ready to murder
like
your family. Yeah. So he picks her up and he trains her. Now, we don't see the training that she goes through, but from her point of view, telling the story later, it was horrible, and he was horribly mean to her.
Well, we've learned from the previous two Guardians movies that...
Right, that he was an abusive father, and he put her through horrible things, him and her and Nebula both. And but that,
and Gamora would have like stayed in that sort of assassin-y role that she eventually goes into... until she met Peter and
the Guardians. Right. So Thanos decides that this planet-by-planet murdering of half the population is not fast enough. I'll never live long enough to do this all over the universe. He needs a better solution. and he becomes aware of the Infinity Stones. So, and then of course I'm jumping back and forth. He goes to the dwarves, the same dwarves that makes Mjolnir for Thor.
Thor's hammer.
And they go to those dwarves. He says, hey, who apparently can make anything. You ask them something. Listen, I need a fork that I can eat a live moose with. Okay, here's this one will work. And they can make that for you. So whatever you need from them. He says, I need a device that will allow me to harness all six of the Infinity Stones. So they make him the gauntlet, the famed gauntlet, the one that Odin had a replica of in the trophy room. And he's got the gauntlet, and he goes about collecting the stones. Now, it's never really explained how Thanos knows where the stones are.
He's been hunting for them.
Well, I imagine you
so pick... So if he sends his armies out...
I wondered if the gauntlet had some type of tracking feature.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, they didn't say. I do think that...
Because in Guardians, he clearly knows about the Reality Stone.
Right.
Because they find it.
Right. So, but the Power Stone is the purple one, the one given to the Nova Corps. That one's kind of published. Everybody knows about that
one. But that's what I'm saying. He knew about them.
But the stones do sort of...
That's why he sent Gamora and Nebula to go fetch it.
Right. So the stones do sort of know where each other are. They do, from what I understand, reading the comics, and I don't know how much this plays into the movie, but the comics will tell you that the stones call out to each other, and they sense one another. And so if you've got a glove on, you got three stones, those three stones kind of give you a sense of where the next closest stone is. I don't know how true that is in the movie. They never really say. But anyway, so he goes about tracking them down. So the first place he goes is to Xandar. To the home of the Nova Corps. Kicks their butts. Takes the Power Stone. Second place he goes is to the Collector. The Collector's got the Aether or the Reality Stone. I believe is right. I believe yes. I'm getting my stones right. He collects that stone. So he's got two. And he's got two at the beginning of the movie when he drops in on Thor and his crew. Thor, fresh out of Thor Ragnarok and all the displaced Asgardians, because Asgard was just destroyed, is there on that ship. And then here's Thanos. And Thanos comes in, and a number of them probably escaped on escape pods or something to that effect. But there's a bunch of them still there, and basically Thanos and his people just murder them. Heimdall gets killed. First actual death of the movie. Heimdall gets killed. But the Hulk tries to fight Thanos. Does a poor job. Hulk is strongest one there is until Hulk met Thanos. And Thanos promptly smacks his tail. And so in his last bit of power, Heimdall sends Hulk back to Earth as a warning to the people of Earth that Thanos is coming. And then Heimdall gets stabbed in the guts. Loki gives Thanos the Tesseract, which has got the Space Stone in it. He adds that to the gauntlet. Now he's got three.
And he says, oh, why would I not betray my brother? Because I'm evil. Yes. I want to join the team.
Yes. And then he makes one last ditch effort to stab Thanos in the throat.
And Thanos
snaps his neck.
Abruptly kills him.
Yes. Second death of the movie. Thor makes one last ditch effort to rush Thanos, but Thanos just basically more or less blows the ship up with him in it, and an unconscious Thor goes hurtling through the cosmos, where he runs into the Guardians of the Galaxy when he smacks their windshield. Boom!
Wipe it off! It's a bug!
They get Thor... I'm doing my paraphrase of the movie now, which I wasn't going to do this, but it always seems to work out this way. They promptly get Thor inside the ship. They wake him up. He calls Rocket a rabbit. And Rocket talks about, man, this guy's great. Me and Groot are going with him. And he was like, well, I've got to go find a weapon that I can use to kill Thanos. Because not having a weapon is not working out for me. I had Mjolnir all those years. Dad tried to convince me I didn't need a hammer. I think I do need something.
Yeah, he realizes that Thanos is a threat that... needs to be taken care of.
Right. He's going to have... And at this point, Odin is not... Not Odin, excuse me. Thor. Thor's not really into it so much for defending the universe. Thor's into it for revenge. In Thor's own word, he just saw his brother killed and his best friend stabbed to death. Which I didn't know Heimdall and him were best friends. That's kind of news. I'm sure he liked him, but I never saw them hanging out or having coffee or anything.
And so, Korg and Valkyrie are nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be seen. We assume they got off the ship in one of those escape pod things, maybe. But no way to know for sure.
For some reason.
I hope Korg's not dead. He's my favorite character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as currently portrayed by the director of the last Thor movie. If they get somebody else to voice him or do it, I don't know if it'll be the same. And they may never come back to that character. Never. That's a possibility. So, Thor's off on his way to look for a new weapon. He's going to hunt down the same dwarves that made the Infinity Gauntlet, that made Mjolnir, and he's going to have them craft him a new weapon. So they go on that journey. While they're gone on that journey, the rest of the Guardians, which would be Peter, Gamora, Drax, and Mantis, or was it Manta? Is it Mantis or Manta?
Mantis.
Mantis.
As in praying.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking Black Manta. Okay, my bad. Mantis all go to the Collector because Gamora says, I know my father.
They go to nowhere.
Right. They go to nowhere to hunt for the Collector.
Thor mentioned it.
Yeah. And she says, I know.
He's like, I know he wants the Aether or whatever.
And so they're going to try and get that stone because Thor already told him that he's got the Power Stone already. And now he's got the Space Stone.
And when they roll up to nowhere, they're like, hey, this is kind of cool. Like, nobody's here. It's a little odd.
Yeah, it's empty. And so they go in there and they find a quivering collector.
Under Thanos' boot.
Under Thanos' boot. And when they try to spring a trap to save him, reality shifts and you realize there's nobody there.
Because Thanos has killed everyone in nowhere and destroyed the place.
So, and then Thanos comes out of hiding because he was just used the reality stone to make it look like all that was happening. And so... he basically has a showdown with the Guardians. He captures Gamora. Gamora had made Peter promise her earlier that if Thanos captures me, you will kill me.
Because he can turn her.
Right. And so Peter
put... Because he is so... I don't know what you call it.
Charismatic?
Charismatic, yeah.
That he could talk anybody into anything? Yeah. He's like Bill Clinton.
I'm not here.
Hey, we've got too many people on too many planets taking up all the resources.
Where's Bill Clinton? I am not here.
We have got to eliminate approximately half of all the people in the universe. Now, you can make whatever argument you want to make about me flirting with death. Or trying to get her underneath my office.
No, you can't do that. Cause
What? Can I do that? Because isn't Thanos hung up on death?
Nope, not in this movie.
Oh, that's not in this movie. Which makes Thanos' motivations much more hard to understand for me.
Yeah, really.
Because when you go back and you looked at the Infinity Gauntlet, the story that this is all based on, the reason Thanos goes on this genocidal quest is because he's in love with death. And not as a novel concept. Not like, I love it when people die. No. He's in love with the person of death.
The personification.
Who death is. Death as a person. He loves her.
Because she's actually in love with Deadpool in the comic books.
Seriously?
Yeah, because he can't die.
When was that? That wasn't back then, was it?
No,
it's now.
Like 15 years ago.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
So Thanos has been spurned.
By...
And been cuckolded by...
Spurned for Deadpool, yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no clue. That's amazing. But anyway, so in the movie, Thanos wants to... In the Infinity Gauntlet comic, I mean, Thanos wants to kill half the universe to impress Lady Death. Not Lady Death from Chaos Comics, but the lady who is the personification of death in the Marvel Universe.
Who looks like a big skull face most of the time, but then actually...
Occasionally, sometimes looks at you face. And she's got a pretty girl face. So, like, that would freak me out, because if I was out on a date with her and she looked like a pretty girl, and then I look away and look back at her and she looks like Skull, I go, ugh! You know, that'd be a little discombobulating. But he's in love. And people do crazy things for love. So that makes sense to me. It makes sense that Thanos would murder half the universe.
Well, that would go into his name as the Mad Titan.
Right, because it's a mad thing.
Because he's crazy.
He's crazy for death. And so now we've taken that away and we've made Thanos somehow altruistic in that he's only got everyone's best interest at heart. And if everybody would just listen to him, the universe would be a much better, happier place. And then they kind of turned Thanos into a likable good guy character. As Obi-Wan would say, from a certain point of view.
Someone said, oh, don't expect to not see Thanos as the good guy in Avengers 4 as they're fighting a real bad guy.
Yeah.
Which I...
Okay.
No.
No. So anyway, back to where we were at in the movie. Peter draws down on Gamora because he promised to kill her. And he can't bring himself to do it. Now, I have to think that if Peter had just done it quickly, that he would have got away with it. That Thanos might not have thought to change anything. No. Maybe not. Maybe
no.
not.
No.
But Peter wavers a long time. Do it, Peter. You promised. But you said you would do it. He doesn't have the sack to do it. No, he'll do it. He told me what. I don't believe he's got it in him. He'll do it. He's sitting there going, and he finally pulls the trigger, and bubbles come out. Thanos used the reality gem to turn his gun into a bubble gun. And so, nothing. And so he takes Gamora away anyway. Alright, so we go from there back to Earth. And about that time, and things may not be happening in this exact order in the movie. I'm paraphrasing. And so about that time, the Hulk smashes into the Sanctum Sanctorum in New York City, the home of Doctor Strange, who just happens to be having a conversation with Iron Man.
No.
No? Not at first?
Him and Wong are sitting there.
Oh, and then they go and find him.
Hulk crashes through, and then Doctor Strange does his little portal
thing. And brings Iron Man in.
And then he finds Tony on his run while he's in Central Park.
My bad. I got the details a little fuzzy there. So they get Tony there, and so Banner, because Hulk has reverted back to Banner now. Banner starts telling everybody, gosh, you got to do something. Thanos is coming. And like, who are you talking about? Thanos? And so Wong has to use the Cosmic Cauldron, I believe is the thing it's called, which is kind of like the magical TV set. You can view anything in it, to explain and watch, and they explain the history, which we've seen before in one of the previous Guardian movies, I think, about how the
first one.
The Infinity Gems were created at the beginning of time and how they were spread out throughout the universe and what they are. And then they do a little backstory on Thanos and why he's hunting them down. And so now Tony's all like, really? This guy named Thanos is coming on. We got to get ready. I'm going to have to call Cap.
Well, I think he says, I'm not worried about it.
Well, he gets worried about it real quick.
Well, that's when the Q ship shows up.
Right.
That's when Peter goes to Peter Parker while on school bus, like gets a...
his friend. I forget his friend's name.
Gets his friend and he's like, hey, dude.
Dude, you gotta create a distraction. Well, the kid sees the thing and he goes, oh my god, it's an alien spaceship!
So all the kids run to the other side
and
of the
Peter's like, that'll do.
He just whips out the
window.
The window and then zips up to the ship while there are like comets crashing down, but we find out that's Call Obsidian and Ebony Maw. Yeah. Those two.
Yeah. So they come down. So
the big hulking brute guy.
So our heroes go outside the Sanctum Sanctorum and they see this threat approaching. And
because like the weather's all screwy and like there are cars flying through there and stuff.
Right. It kind of looks like Ghostbusters when Gozer showed up on the top of the building.
It's a sign, all right. Going out of business.
And so Tony turns to Banner and says, all right, we need your help. You need to Hulk out. And he can't. He starts doing it. His neck gets kind of green looking, but he goes, no, I can't.
Here's another problem with the movie.
Okay, problem what?
Bruce can't...
He can't
get his
up.
Hulk up. Yeah,
he can't get his Hulk up.
During the whole movie. And I suspected, well, it's probably because the Hulk fought Thanos.
And he's afraid of him.
And no, that was his challenge. So, like, he met someone who was as strong as him or stronger, and he just wasn't going to come out because it wasn't his problem until he came up to him again.
Well, I mean, is the Hulk, what is his, is it, is he pouting at this point and he's off in his corner?
Yeah, probably.
You know, or is it the fact that he's actually, for the first time in his existence, scared and he doesn't know what to expect?
Well, he was only in a fight for, like, 3 seconds. I don't know why he'd be scared.
Because he got his butt handed to him as
well. Well, yeah, but the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets.
Oh, we should point out, now that we're about halfway through this, that there are spoilers in this podcast. And if you haven't seen the movie, you should stop until you've seen it.
Anyway, throughout the whole movie, Bruce and the Hulk have this relationship where, like, I'm going to get hulked up. And, like, his neck would go green or his face would go green, but he'd never go Hulk.
Yeah, he'd come back. He'd shrink back down.
Which is a kind of a spoiler for the trailer, because if y'all saw the trailer, you saw the Hulk bounding in with Captain America
right. And
everything. That didn't happen.
And I was asking you earlier, because you showed me that Funko Pop that they have.
Yeah.
That's got the Hulk busting out of the Hulkbuster armor, because later in the movie, which we'll get to, Banner's running around in the Hulkbuster armor because he can't be Hulk.
Yeah.
So he needs a way to kind of defend himself and fight, so he's using Hulkbuster. But this Funko Pop clearly shows the Hulk busting out of the Hulkbuster armor. Like, at some point, Banner gets mad enough or something. And he Hulks out inside the armor and busts loose from it. It never happens in the movie. And so I don't know if maybe Mark Ruffalo went to the people at Marvel and said, listen, I need more FaceTime.
Because I wasn't mostly Mark Ruffalo and Thor Ragnarok.
I don't know what his
reason. I need to be more Mark Ruffalo in Avengers.
So
I don't know why, because they keep saying that, like, oh, Mark Ruffalo's happy with his Hulk deal or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I wonder if he's just not going to be the Hulk anymore, or they'll try to make him the Hulk, but he won't be the Hulk
for
the whole time.
Or maybe they're just, as a character, saving the Hulk for the next movie. Don't want to give you too much now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. So they have this fight in, like, Central Park, where they're fighting the children of Thanos, and
they're getting their butts handed to them,
and they take Doctor Strange, because why? Doctor Strange has the Time Stone.
Yeah,
and so
because Tony's like, I'm going to get that Time Stone off you so we can hide it.
You're right. Well, you should go hide it. And he goes, no, I'm not hiding it. I'll use it.
Because I'm the guardian of the gates here in Manhattan, and that ain't going to happen.
So he needs the Time Stone to do his job, but at the same time, Thanos is hunting for the Time Stone, and you're kind of out there right in front of him saying, hey, here I am with the Time Stone. It's a catch-22. And so they're having disagreement about that when the bad guys show up. So they're fighting it out now, and they manage to take Doctor Strange. He puts up a good fight, but they manage to take him. The guy with the mental powers, it looks like Squidward, as pointed out by Tony Stark. They take him, and they take him on the spaceship.
Hey, Squidward.
They take him, and they take him on the spaceship, and they start to leave Earth's atmosphere with him. Well, Iron Man's not standing for that. Mark Ruffalo as Banner is useless at this point. No Hulk, so he's just sidelined. And Iron Man busts up there to try to get to him.
Oh, and Iron Man debuts his new armor, which is
nanotech.
Yep.
So, which means that he basically can form his armor out of nothing at any time.
Yeah, at any point in time. And he could do crazy, amazing things.
Right,
like
he could form it into odd stuff.
Like a space booster.
You know how on Teen Titans where, like, Cyborg can form his hand into a laser cannon or things like that? Well, Tony can do crap like that.
Tony can do that now.
Yeah, so that's weird. And so the idea of having a specific set of armor for each kind of job you might need to do...
Doesn't need that now.
Yeah, that's gone by the wayside. Well, also up there on the spaceship is Spider-Man, because Spider-Man, being the active, eager, well-to-do character that he is and anxious to help, swings up there and gets on the thing. Well, as the thing's ascending up into the Earth's atmosphere, he's quickly running out of air.
Yeah.
So Tony calls up the Iron Spider costume to give to him so that he doesn't die, but then tells him, kid, you gotta go. This is not for you. Wrong place to be.
He's like, but
he wants to
Stark,
help.
I can help.
So in classic Peter Parker fashion, he doesn't listen, and he stays anyway. So they manage to get aboard the ship, and now they've got to rescue Doctor Strange, who has got like 400 pounds of acupuncture pointed at him from 1,300 different directions. And he's like, I'm basically just going to torture you to death.
Because Ebony Maw can manipulate that weird in-between space thing that
right.
Doctor Strange can...
Right, that foldy space stuff, right?
So he's stabbing him with like hundreds of needles.
Hundreds of knives and needles and things. So, long story short, because I don't want this to run on forever, Iron Man and Peter Parker managed to get Ebony Maw, suck that into space.
Mm-hmm.
And then at this point, now the ship is headed for Titan. And they have a serious conversation about, we should go back to Earth. No, I don't think we should go back to Earth. What do you mean we shouldn't go back to Earth? Well, let's think about it. You got the Time Stone, right? Thanos is looking for the Time Stone, right? Thanos will come to Earth looking for it, and he'll probably kill thousands of people in the process. Why don't we just go to where he's going to be at? And if we're going to fight him for it, let's fight him there. It's kind of similar to how, if you're going to fight the terrorists, don't wait for them to come to you. You go fight them on their territory.
Let's not destroy New York. Let's destroy Titan.
Right. Let's just
hashtag Instagram.
Right. So they end up taking the ship to Titan, crash land the thing, where there's no air, but everybody's okay. And
which we stated
and
earlier.
Thanos shows up later, so we'll pause that. Okay. Kick back to Thanos. Thanos is still looking for stones. Now, the Time Stone and the Mind Stone, which is in the head of Vision, are supposed to be being delivered to Thanos. So Thanos has got three stones at this point. He's got the Power Stone, he's got the Space Stone, he's got the Reality Stone. Time and Mind will make 4 and 5. He needs number 6, the Soul Stone. Now that he's got Gamora, he knows that Gamora can tell him where the Soul Stone is, because he sent her to hunt for it, and she's pretty sure that she knows how to find it. So he basically uses her and Nebula to get the information, because Nebula knows that Gamora knows where it is, and so he's using Nebula.
He's torturing Nebula.
He's torturing Nebula, and so Gamora gives...
Which happens in the comic book, but not in the same way.
Right. So so Gamora gives in and tells him, fine, I'll take you to where the stupid thing is. They go to this planet where the Soul Stone is being stored, or where it lives, or where they keep it, or whatever. And he sees somebody who, when you first show up, I thought for just a moment, oh my God, it's Death. They put her in the movie. Because there's this black cloaked figure, and the wind is flapping and flowing, and they're hooded, and it looks like...
I thought it was the mentor from Harry Potter myself.
It looks a lot like a Grim Reaper type character, right? And I was like, is that Lady Death? Is that Death? And again, I keep saying Lady Death. We know who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Chaos Comics character. I said, is that Death? And then it turns out it's not Death, but who, Charlie?
The Red Skull.
It's the Red Skull. He has been on the planet for years.
Vormir.
And, that's been like 80 years that Hugo Weaving was zapped into outer space by the Time Stone.
No, that's not him.
Oh, no. Well, the Red Skull.
He did not reprise his role.
Yeah, the Red Skull's character has been up there for 80 years. Now, I don't know if he's just lived all this time because he's super soldier serum and stuff that he had in him, and he just manages to live this long, or if something about his contact with the stones is prolonging his life. Not sure which is the case there. But he's still there, and he's...
I would say it's both. I think the Tesseract did something to him.
Yeah, I think he's clearly been altered in some way. So suddenly now he knows everything about the Soul Stone. He said because he tried to possess it, but it wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
But
because you have to sacrifice something you love.
You've got to sacrifice something.
Oh, and...
And so at this point...
Who happens to be with Thanos at this point?
It happens to be Gamora's right there. But
he doesn't love
her. He doesn't love anybody but himself, right? He's on his unholy mission.
No. We get the flashback.
Flashback to when she was a little girl,
yeah.
And he gives her the knife, how much that meant to
and
him.
You realize that he loved her.
He did love her.
He loves her more.
So he loves her so much that he does what?
Kills her.
He flings her off a cliff. I love you, baby. Whee!
He pulled a Heihachi.
So he throws her over a cliff. She lands violently, killing herself. Eyeballs pop out of her head and everything.
Soul Stone
appears. Like, congratulations, you've beat this level. Here's your prize.
It's like at the end of Castlevania when you beat the boss, the gem falls out of the sky.
Yeah. And so, and there's just like this tinky, like 8-bit music playing in the background. Anyway, so he gets the Soul Stone. So now he's got 4. He still needs the Time Stone, and he still needs the Mind Stone. Mind Stone clearly ensconced in Vision's head. Well, now they've got to do something with Vision. Vision needs to be hid. So they find Captain America.
Well, you got to start up that.
I skipped over Vision and Wanda's
opening
scene.
Vision and Wanda are in Germany.
on the honeymoon.
Making out.
They're not married, but they're acting married, if you know what I mean.
They are.
They're playing house.
He is human and she's human.
Yeah, he looks very human now.
Except for the little dot.
He's figured out how to manipulate his skin to look like flesh. So now instead of Vision walking around in a cardigan sweater.
It's Paul Bettany.
Right. Instead of Vision walking around with that purple face and a cardigan sweater, which was a little off-putting in the last movie, you've got the guy that plays Vision just walking around in regular clothes, and it's much more easy on the eyes.
Well, Age of Ultron, not.
Age of Ultron, yes.
Civil War,
yes. Which one? Civil War was the last one. Anyway, so they're in Germany.
That's when Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight
come to take
fall
him.
Down the sky, and they have this big old brawl, and then all of a sudden they're knocked into this train station where Cap's team happens to be.
Right, and so they show up and whoops their tails because oh my god, these humans know martial arts. We've never encountered people who know martial arts, and
I think they actually kill Corvus Glaive.
Yeah. So Scarlet Witch and the Vision are two of the most powerful Avenger characters. And
literally, probably Scarlet Witch is the most powerful one.
In the world.
Yeah.
And they got their butts handed to them by these ragtag misfits from outer space until Captain America, Falcon, and Natasha show up. The three characters who have no powers. Except unless you call Captain America Super Soldier Serum of Power. And so they, with their cutting abilities and their use of martial arts.
And the fact that Cap can catch a
projectile.
Flung a
trident or whatever.
Yeah.
So they whoop their tails and send them packing. And so now you've got this.
I only mention like how strong Scarlet Witch is because it comes into play later.
Yes, it does. So they said, we've got to hide him. So they take him back to Avengers headquarters in like the suburbs in Virginia. And you see General Ross on the screen talking to, actually it's in the holographic projection.
Yeah, he's talking to Don Cheadle, Iron
War Machine. And he's like, you got to find Captain America. Why haven't you found Captain America?
And they walk in and he's like, here they are.
It's Captain America.
Arrest those guys.
Yeah, later. Click, turns him off. He goes, well, that's a court martial.
And so watching Civil War, really?
Yeah. You're going to give up everything.
Don Cheadle, who signed the accords willy-nilly. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm an army guy.
You'll do everything your country asks you to do right up until they really need you. And then you go, nah, I'm going to go with Cap. And so they decide, well, we've got to hide Vision. They'll be back. They're going to hunt for him. But where can we keep him hid? I don't know. No place in the world like that. Do you, Cap? Well, scene shift to Wakanda.
Yeah, I know a guy I met in Europe last year.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's got a place. I think he can let us hang there.
We stayed for a couple of days, yeah. My best friend's living in his rooming there.
So they go to Wakanda, and they said, we got to come up with a plan. Now, Vision's going to die if Thanos makes his way here. He's going to rip that stone out of his head. And so we got to figure out a way to dislodge it, because he's already went to Wanda. That's Wanda. You, Wanda, you must destroy the stone. Only you have the power to do it.
Yeah, you can crush the stone.
Yeah. I think those were a horrible Paul Bettany impersonation.
My love, you can crush the stone.
But she was like, no, I can never do that.
I love you.
And he said, only you can, because you were created by its power. So you alone have the power to destroy it. And I was like, I see the logic in that.
And because you love me so much that you are willing to do anything to protect me and the world.
And the world. So, they decide that Wakanda might be the place to hide him. They go to Wakanda. They meet up with Bucky, the Winter Soldier. And they give him his arm back. Because apparently when you aren't doing anything useful, you're not allowed to have the arm. Not sure why.
Well, the arm was controlling him, too, remember? Because, like, in the...
What, did they give him a new arm?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
because in the outtakes of, was it Civil War or Ant-Man, where he's hooked up to that machine because the arm was controlling him, too?
Right. So the question then is Did they just get that arm finished, or were they waiting for a particular time? I know it could be that he just now had gone through the mental reconditioning that he needed to be ready for
it. No, because sure he makes it for him.
Right, but he's been there a while. So the question is...
Well, she's probably been working for a while longer.
Okay, well.
But even though she's super smart.
She is super smart. Apparently smarter than Banner and Stark.
Theoretically, and like
anyone, everybody put together.
Anyone could be smarter than Banner, because Banner's only real science is gamma radiation.
Yeah, that's nothing. I'm a scientist that knows everything about this particular field, but I don't know anything. It's fine. It's neither here nor there. I think.
Would you have a nose specialist do open heart surgery on you?
No, but my point is, they brought in this character Sherry, and I think they've made her in off the chart smart, Reed Richards smart.
Yeah, she's out of supposed nowhere. To be. Yeah.
And so.
Well, she's really smart in the comics. So.
Well, okay, whatever. I just, you know, I just she doesn't have. She's not old enough, in my opinion, to be that smart. It just doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel like she's earned it, but I don't know. The fact that I just met her and she's smarter than everybody in the Marvel Universe is a little bothersome to me.
Never meet Moon Girl then, because she's like 12.
Anyway, so they get there. They're like, hey, Sherry, can you get this thing out of his head? Well, sure, I can do it. No problem. And they said, well, it's going to take a while, though, so get your defenses ready and get this minor shield, which they don't give him one. They give him these gauntlet thingies that kind of...
They form a shield, but he can break it in two to have deer.
It's weird, and I don't
He becomes the Badger.
The Badger. And so Captain America does not get his costume back in this movie, and that's another negative, I think, for the movie. Nor does he get his circular shield back in this movie. And I think that was moments that the audiences wanted, and they were denied. Now, they may just be pushing it off to the next movie. But I think that before Chris Evans takes a celestial dirt nap at the end of the next movie, he needs to be back in the Iron Man in the Captain America gear. Excuse me. And so I don't know when and how they'll make that happen, but hopefully they will make it happen. Because if he goes out playing this nomad character or whoever they've got him supposed to be being right now with the beard, then fans are just going to hate that. So they're in Wakanda. They're souping up their defenses.
Well, the fan theory is that Captain America time travels. That's why he's got the beard and everything.
I don't know about that, but okay. I do know I read that comic book a while back where he went into this other dimension and was there like 80 years and came back and like 3 weeks had passed or something like that. And when he got back, he was an old man, and he was old man Captain America in the Marvel Universe for like 2-3 years. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, we don't talk about the Remender run.
So... while they're preparing their defenses in Wakanda...
we flash back to Thor.
And Thor is still looking to get that hammer made, right?
Well, he finds the place that they're
so in. He finds the forge that's surrounded by... that is surrounding a dwarf star.
Yeah.
And he meets the only remaining dwarf. It's a dwarf star, and it's a dwarf that runs a place. It's okay. And he meets the only remaining dwarf after Thanos was there. Because Thanos was there, and he had to make the Infinity Gauntlet.
And then he... one.
Killed all of them.
He killed everyone.
Save one. And I don't know why. Was it just so you tell everybody Thanos was here? Because he likes to spread his reputation around. I don't know. But it seems to me like it would have made more sense to kill them all. Nobody could operate in the stupid thing to make a weapon that could destroy him.
John, don't you know if you kill all the underlings, the main guy who knows how to build stuff will never build anything ever again? Don't you know that? Don't you know that's how that works?
Yeah, I'm sorry. All right. So
I mean Jeff, who only pours the metal, you know, he's impossible to replace.
Right.
But the guy who knows how to make the hammer, don't kill him.
Yeah, because he's important.
Yeah.
He's useless. He's useless now.
He's useless.
Without Jeff.
Without Jeff, because okay. Jeff's the guy who does everything.
Right, because without Jeff, he couldn't do what he does.
You know, kill the manager.
Yes.
Kill all the workers, keep the managers, and the managers...
Well, it's just like at a bank. If you kill all the tellers, then the bank manager, what's he going to do?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, okay. All right, so...
we're not advocating going to a bank to kill
them. Alternate reality does not advocate the killing of anybody, let alone bank tellers. All right, so...
Thor, like I said, without Jeff.
Thor gets there, and he meets Peter Dinklage.
Who's playing E-Tree.
playing his character from Game of Thrones, basically.
Not really.
Eh.
Not even.
He plays a lot. He looked similar, except for the side fact that he was huge. Now, this is a weird thing. These dwarves are the size of houses. I mean, they're huge, but they're dwarves. So they're
even though they're not supposed to be?
I don't know. That was
The books, they're only like about 5 feet tall.
That was a choice that Marvel Cinematic made for this.
It was really weird.
Because I think Peter Dinklage said, I'll be in this movie, but I got to be the biggest person in the movie.
No, I don't think he would have said something like
that. I don't know.
But what I'm saying is, I think it's very sad that, like, because some of the rumors before the movie started was that he would be playing Corvus Glaive. Mm-hmm. And, like, the part where Black Widow says, don't get up or we'll kill you, and he goes, I can't, sounded like Peter Dinklage in the previews.
Right.
And I was like, well, that's kind of cool, because if you know Corvus in the comic books, that's kind of Peter Dinklage's role mm-hmm. on Game of Thrones. That'd be really cool.
Right.
But then in the movie, we get Corvus Glaive for all of 3 minutes, and he's nothing like he is in the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Peter Dinklage playing a dwarf, a giant dwarf.
A giant dwarf.
But still a dwarf.
Still a dwarf. Because it's clearly the same proportions. I'm trying to be as politically correct here as I can. He's still got the same body proportions that a dwarf has. He's just on a massive scale.
And I don't know. That just rubbed me wrong, too.
Yeah. So,
because I was like, in other movies and other things, he's playing to
second Marvel movie Peter Dinklage has been in.
Yeah.
He was in X-Men movie playing.
Not really a Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No. The other one was an Fox X-Men movie. Or Days of Future Past.
Or the sequel. I can't remember.
It was the first class. It was the next one.
Yeah, but wasn't the second one. It was the third one.
Wasn't the third one Apocalypse?
It was the one before Apocalypse.
Well, they've not made 4. They've only made 3.
No.
They made First Class. They made Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And then they made Apocalypse. There's not another one that I'm aware of. We're off topic. This happens typically on our show. Charlie goes to the internet quickly.
Well, this computer's going to take a while, but go on.
This is an older laptop. I apologize. All right, so Thor comes in with Groot and Rocket and basically says, oh, by the way, Rocket gives Thor a new eyeball.
Because it's one of the ones he stole.
Right, so he's got body parts. He's got a whole drawer of body parts, right?
That's why he steals.
And so Thor just puts it in his eye socket, and Rocket was like, well, I think I would have washed that up before I just stuck it right in there.
Yeah, it was Days of Future.
Yeah, Days of Future Past. I was the winner. Yay. John wins the internet. All right. So.
John got lucky on the internet.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and again.
So, anyway.
So he tells Peter Dinklage, hey, listen, I need a hammer to fight Thor. To fight Thanos, because I'm Thor. I'm doing my Thor impression. And I need a hammer to fight Thanos.
And I'm Kratos.
Because Thanos killed my people. And I will defeat him because I've lost so much today and I cannot stand this abomination to live and I need a weapon that can defeat Thanos. Can you make that? And he goes, yeah, I could, but the forge is gone out.
But Jeff, you know.
Jeff is dead. He pours the metal.
I can't run the forge.
By myself.
Because Jeff is dead.
I mean, who's going to open the iris and let... You know,
who's going to let the heat in?
Who's going to let the heat in?
Who's
going to
pour the metal?
You know, this would be like me trying to
this
run.
This is not a one-man job.
Yeah, it would be like me trying to build a house all by myself. I maybe could do it, but it's going to take a long time.
And Thor's like, how long? He's like, a very long time. He goes, well, I'll do it.
Oh, okay, so you're going to be Jeff. All right. Well, first thing you got to do is restart this star that's gone cold. Yeah. So he goes out there and with Thor's awesome power, just starts the rings rotating, breaks the cold that's frozen them.
Didn't you think that was a callback to the first Avengers movie?
In what way?
Where they had to restart the fans on the helicarrier.
Oh, yeah. okay, man, I see what you're saying.
I was like, that was very similar.
Different characters, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
That was a callback.
And so he gets the rings rotating around the star. This heats the star up. Now the star is hot again. And he goes in that same pose that you've been seeing on the preview for months of Thor standing there with one hand on one side of the iris and the other hand on the other side of the iris and pulling them together. And the iris opens in the background and lets the heat through. Well, that heat is the heat of a star. And it cooks Thor. I mean, it's like frying like bacon, man. But he's a god, so he can take it. I don't want you to think Thor's in any real danger, because he's not. And
well, he's only hurt until the hammer's made.
Right. So that heat comes in, and it heats up the cauldron, and they melt the metal in it, and they pour the metal into the mold.
Then Idris is like, oh, shit, there's no wood for the handle.
No, we need the handle. He dumps it out, and it's cooling on the ground in two pieces. I need a handle. Tick, 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 tick. Well, he's got dwarf legs. He can't run very fast. So, you know, tick, 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 tick. He's running off.
That's not
politically correct.
That's not cool.
That's not politically correct. I'm sorry. I apologize to all people of miniature
status. He's a giant anyway. He'd be taking huge steps.
Huge, giant, small steps. anyway, I do apologize to all people of small stature. I don't mean anything by that. I'm trying to be comical. Anyway. So while he's off looking for the handle, Groot's like, oh, I can't let this thing cool down. It'll be powerless.
I am Groot.
So I am Groot reaches over and uses his arm to make a handle.
Groot's the handle.
Groot's the handle, right? He breaks his arm off, but Groot, you know, can grow a new arm. And so now you've got a handle that looks like it's been pulled out of a tree.
It's twisty.
Yeah, it's twisty and viney and stuff instead of just smooth.
But then again, the hammer looks like it's...
So the hammer's not Mjolnir.
No, it looks like it's kind of stone.
So what is this? It
looks like a big tomahawk.
Yeah, well, what is this hammer, what's it in the shape of? It's similar.
What is it? It looks like a big tomahawk.
Well, no, not exactly.
With a big axe and a smaller axe on it.
It's not got an axe on the other side. It has a flat surface on it. It's got a hammer side on the other side. It is the ultimate shape from the ultimate Thor.
Well, yeah.
So that's the Stormbreaker.
It's based on Stormbreaker from the comic.
Right, right. So you've got the hammer, that's the hammer on one side, and the axe on the other side.
That's what it's called. He's like, I present to you Stormbreaker.
Right, and this axe-hammer combo deal is huge. I mean, Thor has to lift it with like two hands, and it's bigger than his head, the top of it. I mean, it's huge. But it's got some cool powers. Not only does it do the same thunder and lightning thing that his old hammer did, not only because it cuts through...
Same deal as the other hammer.
And not only does it cut through like anything, like lightsaber stuff, but in addition to that, it can fly around wherever he tells it to, similar to how Mjolnir did. But it's got the power of the Bifrost in it. So he can use it to teleport anywhere and doesn't have to call on Heimdall, who's dead, or anything like that. So once he gets that hammer, time to go to Earth. Well, while he's doing that, Thanos is on Titan. And Thanos is on Titan, and he's going to meet up with his Reavers that have come back to present the stones, but they're not there. And he meets instead Tony Stark, Iron Man, he meets Peter Parker, meets Doctor Strange. And he goes, well, you guys are...
Hi, my name's Peter. What's your name? Doctor Strange. Oh, I didn't know we were using our fake names.
Oh,
well,
we're
then
using
I'm Spider-Man.
My name's Spider-Man. And so... He asked me, where's Ebony Maw? He got sucked out into space. Well, he did his job anyway, the stone's here. And so at this point, they begin to...
And then Thanos...
Throw down.
No, what do they call it? They did it in Incredibles, where Inferno was like, tells them their whole plan.
Oh, yeah.
What do they call that?
Monologuing.
Yeah, he's monologuing.
Yeah.
So he monologues why he did everything.
Yeah, and then he gives you all the backstory, yeah. And you see Gamora's a little girl and all that stuff. We cut out a little part.
And and they have the big part where, like, he says, you don't know what I've given up to be where I am right now.
Yeah, what'd you give up, Gamora?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's it, you know. You're getting ready to kill half the people in the universe. But they talk to them about what they're getting ready to give up. But anyway, we skipped one little significant thing. When they're on Titan, preparing for Thanos' arrival, they're trying to figure out how they can beat this guy, but he's super tough, and they know it. So Doctor Strange goes into
the, some kind trance. Of
time trance and explores he's all there going, 14 million different scenarios and possibilities, alternate futures, as he calls them.
Where, which, if you're going by the internet, he didn't spoil this movie. No, he didn't spoil the next movie.
And so he comes out of that trance and he goes, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I was looking at possible futures. I looked at over 14 million different possibilities like of how 14 this
million, 300,000,
however many, a bunch." And he says, and he goes, "I looked at all these possibilities." Tony goes, "How many of them do we win?" And he
a
goes,
"Couple."
And he said, "One."
I thought he said a couple.
I'm pretty sure it was one.
I thought he said a couple. Either way.
Either way. And so.
Either way.
Now, they don't tell you what they say next because you cut to another scene. But the idea was, well, okay, if this is how it has to happen, then let's plan to make that a reality. You would assume that's what they were doing. So Thanos shows up and they have a big fight. And they look like they're holding their own with Thanos.
Well, they get in a couple of hits. And
yeah, and so, you know.
Everyone, like, the big thing going around the internet was like, "Hey, he's got this glove that controls the universe, but if they hit him in the head,
yeah,
he's screwed."
He needs a helmet on. Suddenly, it seems to make sense why Thanos should have a helmet. Oh, wait, he does.
He just doesn't wear it. Or his other glove, for some reason.
He needs, like, a Magneto-style helmet to wear.
You know what he should have worn on the other hand?
What?
A white studded glove.
That would be cool. So they have this fight. The fight with Doctor Strange is phenomenal. This is one of the strongest points in the movie, in my opinion. Because I love Doctor Strange as a character anyway. And so when Doctor Strange and Thanos mix it up, because Stark and Parker are really not much of a fight for Thanos. I mean, Thanos waves his hand at them and they get knocked out of the way. Thanos does some cool stuff where he even, like, shatters the moon and makes it rain down on the people and stuff. But when Thanos and Doctor Strange mix it up, Doctor Strange has been training since the Doctor Strange movie. Because in the Doctor Strange movie, Doctor Strange didn't know what he was doing, basically. He barely gets out of that movie with a trick that he learned with the Time Stone.
Yeah.
All right? Since then, he's been figuring out some things. He uses the Crimson Bands of Sidorak in this movie. He uses a bunch of other really cool, trippy effects and powers. I mean, you know, Thanos shoots some stuff at him and he turns him into butterflies. I mean, it was a really, really cool fight. And I was really excited that they decided in all this movie, I think Doctor Strange got the biggest showcase of a hero's ability to fight in this movie than anybody else did. I mean, outside of maybe what some of the characters did on the battlefield of Wakanda. But when it came to going toe-to-toe with Thanos, Thor didn't stack up. Nobody stacked up. It was Doctor Strange who went toe-to-toe and traded blows with this guy. And Thanos just barely comes out on the other end of it. And the only way he comes out on the other end of it is by getting Tony Stark and stabbing him and threatening to kill him
if Doctor Strange
doesn't give him the Time Stone.
Yeah.
So Doctor Strange then takes the Time Stone and pulls it out of the stars, which was really cool. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. It was like he placed it in the cosmos with his fingers, and it was there. And he reaches up and he pulls it down. It was just a weird, like, camera trick illusion thing. And he gives it. And Stark doesn't understand. So it was at this point I began to ask the question, wait, I thought y'all went over this. The one plan that where you come out
as the winner. I don't think he told him.
I don't think he did either. I don't know if they didn't have time to go over it or what.
I don't think they did.
And so he goes, what are you doing? I'll happily die if it means that he doesn't get the stone. And Doctor Strange goes, it's all right. It had to be this way. So you assume that he means that this is the way I saw it unfold in the one version where we win. So now Thanos has the fifth stone. He's got the Time Stone. He only needs one.
He's basically invincible as is.
Right. He only needs one. He needs the Mind Stone, and it's firmly planted on the forehead of Vision still. So if we go back to Earth, and the onslaught begins. Not to say, you know, wink, wink, that's your Twitter handle. The onslaught begins, and it's basically, what'd you say?
The Gungan fight from episode one.
Phantom Menace battle scene.
Because all the Wakandans, they have their little shields. and they make a big shield over the place. So it's very, very,
it's very, very, very reminiscent of that Phantom Menace fight scene out in the open field. There's a lot of fighting going on. You've got all these characters down here. They're doing really well in the beginning until those Dogs of War, whatever they're called, break through the shield. And when they break through the shield, they're still doing okay for the most part. But at some point, the numbers are just, they're just overrunning them. And it's at this point that Scarlet Witch decides she can't stand on the sidelines anymore because she was trying to protect Vision at first and stay up there where Siri is operating on him. And Siri is almost like 90% done with the operation when, you know, the Black Order or whatever they're called comes in there to try and take him again. So he gets up off the operating table before she's done and he tries to run away. Scarlet Witch goes out into the field and begins to fight. And here you see her really showcased as well, too. And she, what she's doing with her powers out there in the field is amazing. And one of the people asked the question, why wasn't she out here to start with?
Yeah, because basically she's the strongest one there.
Right.
At the point in time.
I mean, they have these big underground drilling things, and she just raises her hands and they all come up out of the ground and disintegrate. I mean, she is uber powerful. And, you know, so they're turning the tide. You got Mark Ruffalo running around in the Hulkbuster armor. He's not much of use of anything.
Yeah, because he doesn't know how to pilot it, and it's
pretty
banged up.
And here's the interesting part. He gets overrun by those demon dog things, and you feel like he's in some serious danger at this point. You feel like they're going to break through the armor, and they're going to kill him. And I was like, well, he's in danger. His physical life is actually in danger.
Yeah,
the Hulk has to come out now. Nope.
No Hulk.
And Banner goes, Hulk, when this is over, me and you got to talk, pal. Because we got
he's like I said, he's been arguing. He argues with the Hulk the whole movie.
Yeah.
Come out. No, I'm not coming out or something like that.
So yeah. They have officially made the transition in the Marvel movies from the Hulk is just a more savage side of Banner when he loses control and he loses all his inhibitions.
Like it's two different
to a split personality thing now. And so it's no longer werewolfism, big green werewolf. It is now I'm trading places with somebody. This other person lives in my head and occasionally we switch spots. And so they're communicating with each other.
Literally.
And so that's an interesting development for the Marvel Universe. The fight's going pretty well until, like I said, Thanos himself shows up. And when Thanos himself shows up...
because he just, like, left from Titan, like, not 2 seconds ago.
Right. He just walks through a portal that he opened up. And so he just starts wading through them. And Captain America comes up there, and he's trying to fight with him. Captain America takes a dead-on punch in the face. Now, don't get me wrong. Captain America, Super Soldier Serum, I know he's tough. But Infinity Gauntlet hand... with 5 stones on it.
It happened in the books. That's the
dead punched in the middle. No, it happened in the book, and Captain America shielded it with the shield, didn't he? Like this, boom.
I don't think so.
Thought it did.
I think they grabbed each other's hands like he did.
Yeah, but I mean, after that grab was over, he just dead punched him like right in the nose. There wouldn't have been anything left of Captain America's face. Captain America is just not that powerful. And so the fact that he takes that punch and gets up like it wasn't no big deal, I was shocked. I was like, well, oh my God, Captain America's dead. Blunt force trauma to the head, his brain is mush. He's not getting up. I thought that's where Captain America died. Coincidentally, I also thought Tony Stark was going to die on Titan because he gets impaled. But apparently that nanotech has the ability to suture a wound or whatever.
Yeah, it helps him.
So he's going to be all right. He's making his way towards Vision. They're trying to stop him. Wanda goes to Vision, and Wanda realizes that it's the last minute.
Well, she goes to Vision because, like, they Thanos attacks Vision, so Scarlet Witch takes her eye off the battle and focuses on Thanos and them.
Right. So, does she attack Thanos?
Yeah.
And he gets knocked back or something?
Yeah, I think so.
He gets knocked back away from her. This gives her a break in time to turn her attention to Vision. And they have a moment of, I don't want to do it. I know you don't want to do it, but it has to be done. I guess so. All right. I'll try not to make it hurt. And And which they didn't really say that, but you understand what I'm getting at. And so she's shooting her beams of magic at the stone, and the stone, she does it. The stone shatters and breaks, and Vision dies. And he falls over dead. And she's just devastated. And Thanos just walks up and goes, "Huh, I didn't think you'd do it." Of course, it would have mattered if I didn't have the time stone.
Reverse time.
And just runs it back. And Vision
grabs the time stone.
And he grabs it out of his forehead, just breaks it off. Leaves a huge indention in Vision's forehead, like the size of Thanos' overlarge finger and thumb. And just breaks it out. Kills Vision again. Vision dies twice in this movie. And puts it in his hand. Now, we failed to mention just a few minutes before this, Thor had showed up. And Thor opens up a Bifrost and comes in with that axe. And Thor is cleaning house.
But that's what I'm saying. Scarlet Witch was the most powerful person until Thor shows up. But really, it was just those two or three people.
But Thor kind of took his eye off the ball here, because Thor wasn't focused on keeping him from getting the stone. Thor was just focused on killing his henchmen and then killing Thanos. So he waits just a touch too long. And then when he throws that hammer, that axe thing, and it cleaves into the heart of Thanos, effectively doing what it was designed to do, it would have killed him. And he comes down there and he grabs hold of it and he pushes it in even farther to ensure that he dies. And Thanos looks at him and he goes, "You should have aimed for the head." And at that point, he snaps his finger. And when he snaps his finger, boom. Then the magic snap happens, and half of all the life in the universe fades away. And so you have to watch as all our heroes look helplessly at one another.
As most of the comrades.
And most of them turn to ash and float away. So who turns to ash? Oh, and Thanos is suddenly gone. Because the gauntlet protects him, heals him, and takes him away from there.
Well, no, once he did that, he accomplished what he wanted, and
And it heals him, and he opens a portal and he walks out, right? So, because he's not dead, clearly. But like I said, if he hadn't had that gauntlet on, that would have killed him. But anyway, neither here nor there. So who dies? Who turns to ash?
Black Panther,
Rocket, Groot, all the Guardians. So on Titan, Peter Quill,
Because apparently James Gunn has stated that when Rocket disappears, because he translated it, that he said dad or something like that.
Right. And so they all disappear. And when I got to looking back at it, and yeah, apparently when, because there were some touching moments there as they were disappearing. So Groot looks at Rocket and because he kind of falls down and gets weak first, and he goes, "I'm Groot," and then he fades away.
Yeah.
Somebody asked James Gunn what Groot said, and he said, "Dad." And so that's what Groot said, his last words to Rocket before he faded away. Similarly, how Peter Parker is fading away, and Iron Man's got him by the hand, and he uses the Doctor Who line, "But I don't want to go." And he fades away.
But it takes him about a minute and a half to.
Yeah, it takes him, he holds on a long time. That's true.
I mean, Doctor Strange goes,
"Everybody,
Peter's like, "I don't feel very good. Mr. Stark, I don't feel very good."
And he has to lay down, "I don't feel very good. What's the matter?" And everybody else is already, Gamora's faded away. Not Gamora, Drax has faded away. Mantis faded away. Mantis, excuse me. And so everybody else faded away quickly. Back on Earth, you've got Black Panther's fading away. You've got Winter Soldier's faded away.
Yeah, because I think he was the first one.
Rhodey faded away. Wanda faded away. And
almost all of them.
Almost all of them. But with Peter had the most touching line of, because it takes him a minute and a half. And he goes, "I want to go." And he fades away. And so
from what I heard, that was an ad-lib line. And everyone said that they didn't know that.
Well, they didn't realize it was a Doctor Who reference.
Which I don't know if I believe that or not.
I don't know.
With the popularity of Doctor Who.
Well, Well, that only
a
that.
A few years ago and him being British.
Not only that, but with Peter talking about all the pop culture references that he was making all through the movie, the idea that his last lines was a pop culture reference seems somehow fitting. It's almost like it was intentional.
Have y'all seen that really old movie? What does he say?
Aliens?
Yeah, Aliens, yeah.
That really old movie Aliens where they sucked the monster out into space?
Because that's how they got rid of Ebony Maw.
Yeah. And so I started going back and looking at who was left. Basically, all of the heroes of the Marvel Universe are gone except the original Avengers. So you got Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Black Widow is still left. Hawkeye, we assume, is still left. We haven't seen him, but I assume he is. Banner is left, who will be Hulk. And that's it. That's your core Avengers team. That was the first Avengers movie. That was who was on the ground in your first Avengers movie. And so they're the ones that are left.
But we assume, seeing as we don't know what Doctor Strange saw, that this is...
Well, this is...
Exactly right. How it should happen.
I agree. So...
So I'm like, okay, where's the emotional ties to any of this?
So apparently people were upset.
Oh, yeah, there were people crying in our theater.
Yeah, so people walk out of the movie going, I can't believe they killed Spider-Man.
I've even seen people post memes of how stunned they were after watching
Right. Memes there'll be a scene from The Rock of The Rock sitting in his car looking desperate with his hand on his forehead. It's obviously a scene from some movie that he's been in, but it's like me after Avengers Infinity War. Or somebody else is sitting there with their hands in their hair like they've devastated me after Avengers Infinity War. And
obviously, a lot of people posting these aren't really comic book fans.
Well, that's the thing. If you're a comic book fan like we are, if you've read Infinity Gauntlet...
We're a little bit jaded.
Yeah, because we're like...
But we also know kind of what's going to happen.
Well, but I think anybody who is a moviegoer, who understands how action movies and fantasy movies are made, knows that this is not permanent.
They should know, but
They have to know. You've got this ultimate MacGuffin device that can do anything.
Yeah.
And they use it to wipe out half of all life in the universe. The thing still exists.
But surely that's not permanent, right?
Sure, but the thing that did it can undo it. And it's still a thing that exists. If it only could be used one time, then I would say, oh, crap, that's permanent. But it still works.
I said it before, when we watched the movie. I said the only ones that really surprised me was Heimdall and Loki.
Yeah, well...
Because I knew that Idris Elba wasn't really happy about being Heimdall.
He's great in that
But
role.
I didn't know that...
See, my understanding was that he had said something about wanting to expand his role in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's kind of what they did in Thor Ragnarok.
Some, but I mean, I'm talking about he maybe wanted a Heimdall movie.
But that's what I'm saying. From what I understand, he wasn't real happy anyway.
Yeah, I mean, how long...
Because he was bad-talking his role after, two, I think, the second one.
Well, but my point is, you're one of the most popular characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yet you're relegated to a background character.
And he's one of the best actors out there. And, he just...
So, I think he may want out of his contract.
Loki kind of surprised me because I was like, I'm not real sure.
Loki's been dead before.
But that's what I'm saying.
This seems pretty permanent, but Loki's been dead before.
I mean, he's been dead, three times at least?
Twice.
Three.
When was the third?
Avengers. He was in Thor 2.
He wasn't dead at Avengers because he took him back in handcuffs at the end of that.
No, but he pretended to be dead in that movie.
When?
Right before he stuck Coulson with the knife. Remember Coulson shot him with the gun?
Oh. Okay, but that
And
was...
he turned around and he's that and
but
stabbed.
That was a fake. That wasn't even he
But
was...
that's what I'm saying. He's been appeared to be dead at least three
he's
times.
He's a master of illusion and deception. We'll say that. Okay, so he can make you think kind of what he wants to make you think.
Thor 2.
Well, obviously Thor 2. So...
Oh, I'm dead in Thor Ragnarok. I'm Odin.
So
he was Odin at the end of Thor 2, but still.
My theory was that everybody who died an actual physical death, which would be Loki, Heimdall, Gamora getting thrown off of the mountain, those people may actually be dead.
I'm pretty sure Gamora's
probably coming back. But everybody else that actually got their neck snapped or impaled or something like that, they probably are actually dead. Everybody that got turned to ash, they're all coming back.
Well, most of them still have movies left.
Right. So we know
they're sequels.
We know they're going to be another Spider-Man movie. We know there's going to be another Doctor Strange movie. We know this. And there's going to be at least one more Guardians movie. So we know this. So the question then becomes, how does all this play out? Avengers, they said this wasn't a two-part movie. It clearly is. We've got two movies to go before next summer. So we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is taking place prior to Infinity War.
They're both taken prior to.
And, well, yeah, the other one is taking place like in the 90s.
Yeah.
But Ant-Man and the Wasp, they clearly are not in this movie. And somebody said that it's entirely possible that they were doing something in the subatomic world. And that's why they were shielded from the effects, because they were so small that they were subatomic, they were in between realities there. And so that's why when they reshaped reality, it didn't affect them. That's a theory. I don't know. But for whatever reason...
I've heard that.
For whatever reason, they'll be back.
Because, oh, we forgot the last part of the movie before we go on with the next part.
Okay, all right. So last part of the movie is everybody's turned to ash.
I mean the after credits scene.
Right. Well, there was two things then. Everybody's turned to ash, and the last thing you see, because everybody's devastated, we lost. Even though you still think this is part of Doctor Strange's plan, and I agree with you. But the last thing you see is Thanos. Walking along, he's fine now, he's healthy, there's no stab wound in his chest or anything like that, and he's just sitting down on like some mountain.
I'm pretty sure it's Rebuilt Titan.
Is it Rebuilt Titan? Somebody said it was Gamora's homeworld.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
I don't think they specifically said. They didn't say, oh, this is whatever world.
Right.
I just assumed it was Titan because he wanted.
Right. Well, so you've got the Infinity Gauntlet. Why wouldn't you remake it?
And I think that's how the book ended.
So, he wherever he's at, he's got like this house built for him. And he comes out and he sits down and he just sort of relaxes and looks at like a sunset type setting. And he seems to be happy.
And he smiles.
And he smiles. Because, like I said, this movie, which was Thanos' movie, he was the hero of the piece and he accomplished the goal. And he, from his point of view, saved the universe.
Yeah.
And that's where the movie stops. Rick credits roll. There's no mid-credits scene.
No.
But there is a post-credits scene. So you flash to New York. Everybody's turning to ash and it's chaos.
No.
What?
It's just Nick Fury and Maria Hill driving down the road.
Well, yeah, but
then all of a sudden he hits the car in front of him.
Right.
And I'm like, well, damn, Nick Fury can't drive a car in New York, apparently.
Well, the reason that car stopped is because the driver was gone.
Well, he didn't know that until he got out.
Right.
He checked on him.
So when he gets out and checks on him, the driver's gone. Nobody in this car.
He's like, what the heck's going on? And he looks to Maria Hill.
And she's like,
and
I don't know
what's going on. And then Maria Hill disappears.
Right, and there's a helicopter that's crashing.
And then all of a sudden, all heck goes on.
And then he starts looking at the sidewalk and people are turning to ash and fading away. And so he runs around the car real quick. He opens a side door. He pulls out a case. He opens the case and gets out a 90s era looking pager. And he beep, 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 SOS, and then about that time he starts to fade away, and he goes and then he fades to ash before he could say anything. And so the pager falls to the ground, and the SOS went out, and the symbol on the pager was
Captain Marvel, which I think that's a silly plan anyway, because how do you know she didn't disappear too?
Well, you don't know that.
I mean, it's obvious to me because the movie's not out yet, but I'm serious. It's like, really?
Yeah.
That's what you do?
If that's all you got, I mean, everybody else is called in and they're working.
But I'm okay with that ending because I'm not the one two seats away from me.
Well,
crying.
And yeah, a lot of people are scratching their head at that credit scene going, what was that? And so there's one... This some person in my audience was like, what was that? What was that? I don't know what that was. And Debbie, my wife, was there. She goes, John, what was that? That was an SOS for Captain Marvel. Oh, okay. She clearly has no clue what that is, but she feels better knowing that I know. So we've got two movies. We've got Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out later this year, and then we've got the Captain Marvel movie coming out next year, which takes place, a period piece, takes place in the 90s about her.
I would say it'd probably be like Captain America.
Similar.
Most of it takes place during one point in time.
Right, and then
she'll... Probably the end credits will be her coming back to Earth or something, yeah, or going to Earth. Or
so if that movie takes place in the 90s, she'd be like 20 years older now.
Well, and she's...
But she's Captain Marvel, so does that mean she doesn't age?
The Kree power probably has...
It slowed her aging down? Yeah. Okay, it's possible.
So, you know how these superpowers work, yeah, John. Everyone stays young forever.
So everybody was hoping since...
Even Batman.
Since Disney just closed the Fox deal, everybody was kind of hoping that we would see a Fantastic Four post-credit scene, or maybe an X-Men post-credit scene.
From what I understand, if it happens, it won't be till after Phase 4.
Really? That long?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Because they haven't even started doing any of it yet.
All right, so we're long on this podcast. We need to wrap it up by giving predictions for next movie.
But wait, we forgot my other problems with the movie.
Oh, you have more problems? Okay,
go all for the it. Unnecessary comedy.
Well, that's what
there were some good parts, but to be fair, every time that someone got hurt or died, 2 seconds later it was like, you cannot see me because I've been standing so still, I become invisible. So, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, there was no real emotional connection for me throughout the movie, really.
Right. Well, and I don't think there was intended. The biggest problem for this movie...
Because, like I said, it was like 2 seconds later, they made a joke.
They meant it to be... All Marvel movies these days, I think they feel like they have found the secret of superhero movie making, which is keep it lighthearted and keep it fun. They want to see fans laugh and have a good time at the movie theater, and they feel like that's what brings people back. They feel like that's what the problem is with the DC movies. They're too dark, they're too grim, and people are not enjoying themselves at the movie theater. So Marvel thinks this is the golden ticket. This is how you do billion dollar movies. Million-dollar movie is not that impressive. This is how you do billion-dollar movies, is this recipe they have of mixing lighthearted comedy in with your superhero stuff.
But they also mix in with similar plot lines in most of their movies.
Right. Now, the biggest problem to me in this
similar
movie...
Similar origin stories.
The biggest problem to me in this movie is not a problem for me in this movie. I'm just observing it as someone who's giving the movie a critique. If you're not me... Or someone like me, like you, and you don't know everything about these characters coming into this, then you don't know anything about these characters. You don't know who they are, and you're not giving any context for those people in this movie.
It's not a standalone movie. You have to watch every other
You
one
have
before.
To watch almost the whole slate of movies to get here. And certainly you'd have to watch a third or half of them to get the key thing.
Which I think, I think that's what they're building on, though. I think that's what they expect everyone to have seen every other movie before.
I think that they gambled that. They gambled that and said, well, we know we're not going to be able to create any character development in this movie for anybody except Thanos. He has character development, but nobody else. Yeah. And everything, and this movie's going to move at such a high rate of speed, from scene to 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 climax, then there's not a moment to breathe in this movie.
Yeah, because someone said it didn't feel like almost 3 hours watching it.
Well, yeah, it's because it was nonstop fight from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It was a great movie, don't get me wrong. I loved it. I mean, it was everything. When I say everything, it wasn't everything that we were promised. What we were promised was the mecca of... cinematic superhero movies. And I don't think it was...
The most superheroes on screen
It was ambitious.
To blow your mind.
It was ambitious.
And I was like, I've seen most of these people in Avengers, except for like these three other people they had.
It was an ambitious undertaking, don't get me wrong. I mean, they just about worked everybody into this movie. The only people that are not in this movie, Hawkeye and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
That's it. Everybody else is in this movie.
But then again, Hawkeye and the Wasp were in Hawkeye and Ant-Man were in Civil War.
Right.
So you were just missing the Guardians in that movie.
Right. So, you know, it was ambitious. And there's something like 20 or 30 characters in this movie. They all get a fair amount of screen time. They managed to keep it delivered out equally. I mean, as much as you can have. Some characters got more screen time than others. We spent a lot of time with Doctor Strange and Iron Man. We spent a lot of time with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Some people didn't get as nearly as much screen time. Captain America and his crew in Wakanda didn't get near as much screen time as the rest of them. In fact, I felt like at the end of the day, Captain America was noticeably absent from this movie. He's here and there in it, but he's not a major contributor in any significant way in this movie. And so, you know, it's just, you know, you can't have everybody. But they did a decent job of trying to give everybody some screen time.
Yeah.
So, so predictions, because like I said, we got to wrap this thing up. Predictions on where we go in the next movie. You got your core Avenger team. They're going after Thanos. They're going to try to wrap this thing up and reboot the universe. We've got to lose somebody.
At least two or three.
We got to lose more than one somebody. Now, somebody said, here's a theory that I kind of liked, that Tony would get the gauntlet. That Tony and Thanos have had a parallel kind of course over the history of these movies. That Tony said, I've been waiting for you. And Thanos has said, yes, and I've been watching you too. So they've been aware of each other.
Yeah, because in the first Avengers, when he went through
The wormhole. And shot that nuclear back at him. And so, Thanos, and even though Tony didn't exactly know what he was waiting on, Thanos and Tony have been kind of knowing something was coming. They've been watching for each other. They've been.
And I think that's probably why the... How weird would it be if they went it all the way back to before Iron Man 1? To where Doctor Strange shows up and goes, look here.
Yeah.
In about 10 years, this is going to happen. You need to start the Avengers initiative.
Yeah, it's all a big time loop. It happens because it sets itself in motion. Yeah. One of the theories that
But what I'm saying is that'd be a cool idea if they did that.
Right.
Because it would set up the fact that you needed Iron Man. Right. There was no point to not getting him on the team. Mm-hmm. It would give them an impetus to like keep going forward.
Well, and then if you recall, after Nick Fury drafts Iron Man, it's Iron Man who's sitting there going through all those dossiers and all those files, picking the members of the team. He's the guy who was hand selecting who was going to be an Avenger and who wasn't. And so that makes a lot of sense.
That'd be cool if they did it. I don't know if they can do it.
One of the theories that I heard was that Tony would get the gauntlet and that Tony could fix it, but the Soul Stone wouldn't let him because the Soul Stone requires a sacrifice. And so if the Soul Stone requires a sacrifice, Tony would have to sacrifice somebody that he loves. And who would that be? Would it be Pepper or would it be Steve? Because Tony really does care about Steve. And the fact that they're estranged from each other is hurting him.
I don't think so. That seems...
And so here you have them come back together. It's not necessarily Brokeback Mountain.
It's a love story I don't want to get into.
It's not Brokeback Mountain. But here you have them, and they reclimate over the course of this movie. They say, you know, it's silly for us to fight. We got a common enemy. Let's team up. And so they mend their fences, and they get back together, right? So now... You got Tony and Steve back on the same team and really enjoying each other's company because they've been missing that. And
I'm sure.
Stop it. And so you get to the end of this movie and
no wonder they call you Iron Man.
And Tony goes, you know, Tony's got the armor. He says, I can fix this, Cap, but the stupid thing wants me to sacrifice somebody. And Cap, being the noble guy he is, says, take me. And so this is Chris Evans' exit from the movie.
But I would cry then.
But here's the thing. Regardless of who doesn't make it, you've got a couple things that need to happen. Because all of our senior Avenger characters, whether it be Thor, whether it be Captain America, whether it be Iron Man, the actors who play these roles have all said more or less in one way or another that they've been doing this for 10 years. They're ready to move on with their careers and go do other things.
Well, as far as I know, that everyone except for Hemsworth.
Yeah, I suspect Hemsworth may be willing to stay. Because really, what else is he going to do? He was born to play Thor.
He's going to play... even though I hear he's going to be back in the new Star Trek movie.
Is he?
That's what I heard. But also that, like, he's going to be in Wolverine's Part 2 or whatever.
Oh.
That movie was.
Okay. So, at the very least, I think you got to lose by the end of the next movie, Iron Man and Captain America. And so I don't know what happens. I don't know if you kill those characters or if those characters retire and they're just off the board for a while. And then when they come back in 5 or 6 years...
I would say kill
them. You recast them.
I would say kill them.
Why kill them?
Well, remember back in, like, in the comic books, right, for a long time, there was a future Tony Stark, and he called himself Arno. Mm-hmm. And he was in the 2020 armor, right? Well, right. What is in 2 years?
2020.
Yeah. So why don't we have Tony's brother, who they've retroactively continuitalized.
I don't think that's a word.
Whatever. They've retconned.
Uh-huh.
Arnold Stark as an actual person in the comic books. He's actually Tony's brother now.
Right.
So wonder if Iron Man dies in the next movie, which comes out in 2019. Mm-hmm. 2020 or 21, we get Mark Wahlberg as Arnold Stark in a 2020 armor.
Hey, you guys are messing up my arm over here. Stop it.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like you could replace him easily like that.
Hey, Peppa. Peppa, you're looking hot today.
And then like 2 or 3 movies, if they're going to get rid of him, they could bring in another guy who kind of looks like Tony and be like, well, this is Tony. He's been gone all that time.
Uh-huh.
And you just replace him with another
so
actor.
So eventually, these roles have to be recast.
Yeah.
If you kill them off, then you've got to bring them back. So you got to have a comic book resurrection.
Yeah.
But if they just go away for a while, you don't have to kill them off. You just recast them when they come back. Which is, I think, makes more sense to do it that way.
Well, you know, Cap's got to die because either Bucky or Falcon has to be
the new
Captain America.
I hope it's Bucky. Nothing against Falcon. I'm not crazy about him as a character.
Well, the thing is I'm not even gonna.
Side issue. Okay.
Not gonna go down that rabbit hole.
Okay.
I think it'd be a cool idea. I just don't think that the way they handled him in the comic books was really the best way to do it. But like I said, down the rabbit hole, no.
Right. Okay. Well, I just think that boy, it's hard not to talk about something. So
it's like we could do a whole series of these things.
Yeah. So we probably could do this every week.
It's like we could do it for at least 5-6 years or something
before
like
we
that.
End up quitting over some stupid reason. So that's pretty much the gist of it. You get the idea. A lot to like in this movie. A few nitpicky things, but for the most part, very very strong movie. I thought. I mean, it's certainly not Marvel's best movie.
It was okay.
It's no Captain America, the original.
Yeah, that'd be that.
Yeah. But it was strong. And for what it set out to accomplish, I think by and large part, it did what it set out to do.
Like I said, I think the biggest...
And the thing about it is that this movie may just be a set piece to build to the next movie. And the real, because the next movie doesn't have all these characters in it.
No.
And so the real drama, the real heart, you know, felt emotion may all come in the next movie. This movie may just be a set building movie, a world building movie to get you to the place where you need to be for the next movie. Somebody said that this is the Empire Strikes Back of Marvel cinematic movies. And it could be that we're just, you know, Return of the Jedi is coming. I don't know.
Well, if that's true, then I would think this movie would be the A New Hope. And the next movie would be...
No, the first Empire. 10 years was A New Hope.
But, I've heard, like, some of the rumors for, like, the next movie. Like, you know how they have, like, they've said on Twitter or whatever, like, or in the online news, is that, oh, the next movie title will blow you away, or right. You won't believe it. I heard a rumor that they may, like, do, like, one of the rumors going around was Avengers Forever. And that would be kind of cool if they do a time-displaced Avengers team. Like, every 5 minutes you get, like, a different Avengers team.
Oh, okay. From a different possible future or something, yeah.
Or a possible past or whatever. Or that would be cool.
That would be kind of interesting. Different characters, different actors, different...
Well, the thing is, it's like there were pictures of Hawkeye from Infinity War.
Uh-huh.
But he wasn't in his Hawkeye suit. He was in Ronin's suit.
I heard something about that. But
there were pictures of him. So I wonder if they were filming parts for Part 4 in Forever War, if in one reality he decides to be Ronin.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. And like, they've shown Cap in his original suit, so...
Yeah, his original Avengers 1 suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so, that suit's going through a lot of adjustments. And I didn't realize how kind of dingy that suit looked. Man, yeah.
But, yeah, they've shown that, too. So I'm like, this Avengers Forever thing, like time travel thing, sounds like it might
actually be happening. What if Kang shows up?
But if Kang shows up, I don't want Thanos to be a good guy.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah, but if you go... I don't know how much of that Infinity stuff you read, but by the time that they turned that into Infinity Watch... Wasn't Thanos on the team as a good guy in that series?
They did like 4 of them, John. No one cares about anything except for Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, remember Q Paul?
Yeah.
It was Infinity Crap, Infinity Crap 2.
All I remember from Q Paul was Secret Invasion with Jason Statham.
And Batman's never like...
Secret Invasion with Jason Statham. Anyway, I miss Q-Paul badly. I wish they would come back. Of all the podcasts that could come back, I wish they'd come back. All right, so you want to give it a rating?
I don't know where I put it.
Well, I mean, just out of 5.
I mean, it's under Civil War for me.
I'd give it a solid 4 out of 5. I think it falls, under Civil War. I think it's a good place for
it. But I have Civil War a little bit lower than you probably do.
Oh, well, then you may do. Because I got, like, Civil War, like, 3 or 4 down.
No.
Oh, okay.
Mine's, like, 7.
7th? Dang. Okay.
There have been 20 movies. What do you expect?
Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to sit here and think about all 20 of them and be optimistic about our objective, about it. So, I just remember the handful that
Iron Man 3 on the bottom.
Okay. Iron Man 2 just above that.
No, I like Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 was weak.
It introduced Spider-Man. So Thor, you got to throw it up. Thor 2 was Iron Man 3. It's above Thor 2. Iron Man 3 is below Thor 2. That's what I'm saying.
I will say this. Some of their weaker...
All the Thor movies are basically on the bottom except Thor Ragnarok. It's somewhere in the top 10.
All the Thor movies are number 2 or higher.
No, they're way lower.
Way lower. Number 2 or lower.
Except for Thor Ragnarok.
So I think it's a 4 out of 5, but just not based on... I mean, not when you compare it to something like Gone with the Wind or something like that. Don't get me wrong.
I don't like Gone with the Winds.
No, I'm just saying. It's not an Oscar movie, so I'm not comparing it to other Oscar movies when I give it a 4 out of 5. I'm saying that within the realm of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and other like movies, Justice League and Superman and things like that.
Then, I really like Justice League, so I like Justice League way better than I like Thor Ragnarok.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree. Okay, that's fine. We're not here to talk about Justice League.
Hey, John, I'm not going to rate it.
What?
I'm not going to rate it, so we can go on.
Fine. You don't have to rate it.
But for, we know where you stand for F5. Okay, cool.
I think
we're good.
I think it was a strong.
Cut.
Shut up.
Cut.
All right, fine. You're going to see the next one, I assume?
Well, of course.
Yes, all right, fine. So you liked it some.
I said it's under Civil War.
Okay. Don't be defensive.
Age of Ultron is not up there.
I like Age of Ultron. I mean, it's not...
Age of Ultron is below Avengers, but it's, you know...
Yeah, it's not as good as Avengers, I agree.
I'm not saying Avengers is up
so,
there
so
either.
So we should do a podcast where we actually sit down and go through this.
Well, we've tweeted several times.
Well, not everybody follows us on Twitter, which is your mistake if you don't.
That's their bad.
Yeah, you should do that.
They all suck. I don't.
All right, so that's it for this episode of Alternate Reality. Hopefully you enjoyed having us back. This podcast is like, I don't know, pushing 2 hours. It's way too long. I feel somewhat bad about that, but not horrible. It was our first chance to really sit down and gab for a while. And so just deal with it. Download it and go on and listen to it in chunks if you want to.
Screw you if you...
But
I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it.
All right. So, I'm not going to sit and go through because I'm not prepared to. I used to. I had a whole list of things like, visit us at this website and check us out our email here.
Well, it's easy because we're not on any of those anymore.
Yeah, so I really don't have any of that stuff to give you anymore. The easiest thing I can tell you to do is if you, you know, I'll post that this episode is up on all our social media. So if you follow me and Charlie on Twitter and Facebook, you probably will see it. Because I don't think anybody surely is still subscribed to the show feed.
Which you'll never know until it comes out, so I don't know why he's even going through the spiel.
But, you know, if you're listening to this, if you're not already following us, odds are you'll never listen to this. But if you're listening to this and you don't follow us...
Like I said, I don't know why he's going through the spiel.
Then the easiest place to follow us is on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter.com/John Loveless for me. And this is just me being professional at this point. And twitter.com/xonslot for Charlie. You can also search for us on Twitter, and you should be able to find us there. We don't have secret hidden accounts, so we should be very public there.
John does at some points in time.
I have in the past.
Sometimes he locks his account for some reason.
I have in the past. I'm open currently, right now. Alternate Reality.
He's open, everyone. You heard him.
I'm open to all the possibilities. Alternate Reality has a Facebook page, so if you go to that, hit like, follow, see first in your timeline or whatever.
Yeah, we don't post a lot there.
Well, we might in the future. And keep your ear to the ground because we may do some more of these. Not promising anything. So that's it for this time. And until next time, in the meantime, my name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are out. You guys have a good night. Open regular show in 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, what used to be the comic book podcast. My name is John.
And I'm Charlie.
And we are coming to you live from Loveless Studios here deep in the heart of Kentucky to bring you...
Need one of those awful 70s like game show things.
Yeah. To bring you our thoughts on... Avengers, the Infinity War, because, you know, what better thing to bring John and Charlie back to podcasting than the cinematic climax of 10 years... What? Don't make fun of me because I said climax. The tentpole film that's been 10 years in the making for Marvel Studios, leading all of everything they've been doing, all the Iron Man, all the Captain America, all the Thors, and all the Guardians of the Galaxy and everything, all been coming all together all this time, coming all together all this time to reach this one place where everything will intersect and come together at one time to this one crescendo, this orgasmic level of client audience anticipation. I should say client. I've been at work too long.
Restart.
Restart. No. We're rolling with it.
This is awful. Redo.
Fine.